for what he's done in my life and the people he's put in our path. And I just thank the Lord for continuing to allow us to serve him. And it's a blessing and a privilege to serve him. And I'm thankful that that he hears our prayers, just like Miss Jenny was singing, and he knows our name. He counts the stars, one and all. He knows how much sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creature great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. No sé lo que mañana traerá, no sé lo que pasará, muchas cosas no lo sé. No tengo las respuestas a las dudas de la vida, pero sé en quien yo he creído. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my name. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in store. I don't know a lot of things. I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know in whom I have believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain, can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my
name. Well, it's good to be at Morningstar Baptist Church, and I'm so thankful for the friendship that this church has had to our family through the years. And this church has got a great testimony in support of missions, and y'all really have a heart for missions, not just a mind for missions, but a heart for missions. A lot of churches, they're mission-minded, but this church is mission-hearted. Y'all got a heart for missions, and you take action and what God's called you to do. And I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful for Pastor Rochester and his friendship over the years. God's been good to us. Give us some good friends. I thank the Lord for Brother Rochester. And you pray for us. We're the Muscovic family, missionaries serving in Mexico. And I want to show you a video real quick. And we don't want to try to take too much time. I know
Usually you don't spend too much time on a Wednesday night, so I don't want to take too much time, but we'll show this video. And then after that, I just want to share a quick word of what God's doing in Mexico. This is part of what God's already done, but there's a part that God's still doing I want to show you after that. And then we'll get in the Word real quickly, and then we'll be dismissed after that. But brother, if you want to hit that. All right.
Jared, this is my wife Chelsea and our two boys Grayson and Avery. We are the Muscovic family serving the Lord in the Yucatan Peninsula of Mexico. The Lord has blessed us with over a decade on the foreign field. We would like to take a few minutes of your time to share what He has done through us in our ministry. We began on the southernmost tip of Mexico near the Guatemalan border in a town called San Cristobal de las Casas. We completed a six-month crash language course and found God moving us to Mérida, Mexico. Mérida is the capital of the Yucatan Peninsula with a population of nearly 2 million people with over 200 tiny villages surrounding the city that all desperately need the gospel of Jesus Christ. We came here not knowing what the Lord had in store for us. However, He quickly moved in and through His powerful hand, He brought a team of three missionary families together to start an adventure in what would turn out to be a mighty work for His glory. Brother Jason Thomas and his wife Ellen, my in-laws Danny and Dodie Ward, teamed up with my family and I as we began our first work in April of 2014. It was in a dirt yard beside a tiny home of a precious family who later became our first members of the church we call Iglesia Bautista Resurrección, which translates to Resurrection Baptist Church. It was just around the time to celebrate our first Easter service here in Mérida. We were only in that little dirt yard a short time when the Lord opened the door for us to rent a small two-bedroom home that we quickly converted into our place of worship. After evangelizing the enormous neighborhood, we quickly found the need to add on to accommodate the growing congregation. The Lord provided the resources and workers to complete our first auditorium renovation within the first year. Since then, we've had three more renovations because of the growth of the church and the Lord's blessing. Today, we average over 100 people per service, and we give God the glory for it all. We continue to see the Lord molding this work as we followed His leadership in starting new outreach ministries through our church. We began with a hospital ministry where we were able to reach the many people that wait outside of the public hospitals without access to their family members that were being treated inside. We bring them sandwiches and juice as well as giving them the gospel in this desperate time. We have watched the Lord move in a mighty way as our members have matured and continue to grow by serving faithfully in these outreach ministries. With the many children in our church and the neighborhood surrounding us, we saw a huge need to begin a kids' Bible club. Chelsea and I began the work with many of our church members who were excited to be used as leaders in this outreach. It was not long before this ministry had grown to the point that they were meeting each week in the public park near our church building. We have seen many families come to Christ as a result of this work. One of the largest outreach ministries we have found over the years is our Vacation Bible School. This is a huge event, and many months of work and prayer go into preparing for this week in July. We have seen countless souls saved as a result of this ministry alone. We also began a ministry in a remote village called Noyun, just 45 minutes from our church on the outside of Mérida. We have church members that hold a twice-a-week discipleship class, as well as our once-a-month full church service out in this village. We have a team of workers that meet at the village park to have a Bible club with the children during the church services. We have seen the Lord using this work to save many souls through this ministry as well. This past March, we were able to bring back our annual missions conference. We had guest speaker and president of BMFP in Jacksonville, Florida, Brother Jonathan Lyons, give us a challenging message each night. This year, we more than doubled our faith promise giving. Our church supports 8 missionary works across the world, Mexican missionaries sent out to serve and complete the Great Commission. Looking toward the future, we are excited about the many goals we are reaching for. Number one, we feel confident that the Lord wants us to start a Bible college for the many men who are hungry to be trained to further the gospel of Christ. Number two, we are currently running our facilities and are at full capacity with no more room to grow where we currently worship. We need a larger, more permanent location. We are praying that the Lord will provide the resources to make this happen. It is a big need, but we feel confident that our even bigger God will supply every single need. Number three, we would like to broaden our reach with the gospel in the many surrounding villages here in the Yucatan, with more churches planted to meet the spiritual need of the many souls that need to hear the gospel. We know that with the Lord's guidance and your help, we can obtain each and every one of these goals. Please help us pray and ask God how He can use you to be a part of what is going on here in Mérida, Yucatan, Mexico. As a result of our church services, discipleship classes, and these outreach ministries, we have been blessed to see many souls come to a saving knowledge of Christ and follow in believers' baptism. We count it as an honor and a privilege to be used by our Lord in such a glorious way, and we do not take this responsibility lightly.
That's what God's been doing through us in our ministry, and that's just a tip of the iceberg what God's been using us for, seeing many people saved, and we thank the Lord for what He's doing. That part where it talks about landing a building, I don't know, Brother Rochester, if Danny has told you much about what's been going on. Has he told you what's happening? Back in April, my father-in-law had to go to the States. His father-in-law had passed away, and so he went to the States with his wife, my mother-in-law, to deal with just the funeral arrangements and dealing with family matters. But while they were there, they decided to take a short furlough and visit some churches. And Brother Danny, my father-in-law, he went to Florida. And while he was there, he met a dear man of God that his name's Brother Drew Barthel. He doesn't like me saying much about him. He likes to be on the down lows. He doesn't want glory for his own name, but I just want to testify and thank the Lord for what God's using him for. He had a Job experience, basically lost, had a big business, had money, was a millionaire, lost it all, and in the process lost a 17-year-old son named Jordan. He was down to all the way to where he had sores on his body. He said he was sitting in a church service, and a man was saying, "Have you ever been like Job?" And as he was sitting there, he started realizing that his life was going through almost the same thing that Job was going through, and God got a hold of his heart through that. And God gave him back his business, gave him back the finances, and his son's in heaven. But he started a foundation called Crossing Jordan. And he decided that he wanted to help missionaries fulfill their calling in life. A lot of times missionaries don't have the resources to fulfill exactly what the Lord's burned their heart to do. And he said that his goal was to help missionaries do that. And he said, "Danny, I want to help you and your son-in-law down in Mexico to get a piece of land, and also to get a building built." And he said, "I will match you dollar for dollar, no matter the amount, on what you need to build, to buy a piece of property and build a building." This was in April of this year. My father-in-law was excited about that, and he got on the phone and called me up. And I was in Mexico. He's in the States. He said, "Jared, you're not going to believe who I ran into and what God's doing. He's opening the door for us to look for a piece of land." And I said, "Well, we better start looking for a piece of land." And at this moment, we didn't have a dime to our name towards a building, towards property or anything. And I remember that story where that old farmer was praying that God would send rain, and he decided to plow the fields in preparation for what he believed God was going to do. And the Lord touched my heart about that testimony. I said, "You know what? We need to start plowing the field while we wait on rain." And so I got on Facebook down in Mexico. Facebook, you can buy just about anything on Facebook in the marketplace there. And I found a piece of property a block and a half away from where our church is. Right now we're renting two houses back to back. One's our auditorium that we basically busted out just about every wall we can, and we're at max capacity. And then the other building we use for Sunday school classes and rooms for our children's ministry. And so we send the kids over there and hope they don't burn the building down while they're having classes. And then we have a good time in the auditorium with the adults on the other side. But we're maxing out. And we were praying. It's very critical for a church when they're looking for a new location that they make the right choice and distance. And most of our church people, they do not own cars. They walk. And we wanted to be sensitive to that understanding. We didn't want to lose people because we were so far away. And by the grace of God, we found a place a block and a half away, has a 6,000 square foot L-shaped building on it, has room for parking, has about a half acre of land altogether. It's all already bordered up. It's got walls all around it. So it's already in a good position. It needs renovation. And so I called the guy up that owned it, and I made an offer. And listen, we didn't have a dime to our name. We just had the general fund for our church fund to take care of operating costs, but we didn't have a dime for a building or for a piece of land. And I went and made an offer to him, and he gave me a counter offer. And at the end, I said, well, that seems about fair, so we're going to accept your offer. And I'm here accepting offers for a building that I don't have a dime for. All we have is a man that said he was going to help us, and then our faith, believing that God was going to do something. And we just walked. That song just means a lot to me, what Miss Jenny sang, and even what Chelsea just got done singing, that God knows our name, and every step we take, we may not see everything in front of us, but God's preparing the way, and sometimes we just need to walk. And so we started walking, and sure enough, at the same time I was trying to negotiate with no money, Danny goes to a church not far from here, and they gave him $4,000 towards the land. He tells the testimony of what God's doing. They give him $4,000. The next service, this doesn't happen for missionaries. This is abnormal. I've talked to our mission board. We've told them the story. They said, this is not normal stuff. The next service he went, a church gave him $6,000towards the building and towards the land. Then the third church he went to in a row, three services in a row, went to a third service, and the preacher said, I need six people to give $500 towards this ministry, towards this work. And they started shooting their hands up. And the preacher went to go sit down. And all of a sudden, more hands started shooting up. And he said, quick, somebody get a pen. We got to record all this. And it came to $14,500 in just 1 week, a Sunday, Wednesday, and Sunday. God brought all that money in. And I put in the letter about what was going on. We had some money from a supporting church of ours that they sent some money in as well. And in less than 2 months, we had received $33,200. And but the amount we needed to buy the building was so much more than that. And we put a video out just kind of being transparent with people and sharing what's going on and said, pray for us. Danny had finished up. It was at the end of his trip in the States, and he came back to Mexico. And usually once you're a missionary, you come back to Mexico, you don't have any more churches to visit, and you just pray that God will bring things in. And we got a little kind of discouraged because things started slowing down, and all of a sudden, I'm sitting on a Saturday, no more than a week and a half from him coming back from the States. He gets a ring on his phone on a Saturday after we got done doing stuff at the church. And a man calls him from North Carolina. It was a supporting church. The pastor had passed away. His son was kind of maintaining the church, but they were down about 10 people. Had a big old building, had over $1 million in the bank, and they didn't know what to do. But they said, before all this money just disappears and before we have to just shut down and the money be dissolved in the church, we want to help missionaries. And we decided we're going to go to different churches. And we're going to, so it's kind of bittersweet. And God works this way sometimes. When one door closes, another door opens. And so he said, how much more money do y'all need to buy this piece of land? And Danny told him, we need $103,000 more dollars. I know that's a lot, preacher. You pray for us. He said, well, you don't have to pray any longer because I'm going to put that check in the mail on Monday. So he put a check in the mail for $103,000 towards this need. Brothers and sisters, this is not normal. This is not your normal stuff. And God's working. I tell people all the time, I'm working with my father-in-law on the foreign field. That's not normal. That's the Lord. You know the Lord's working if you're working with your in-laws. But I thank the Lord for my father-in-law and how God was working. And God gave us all the money that we needed in less than 3 months to make the purchase of this property. We actually signed just a little over a month ago, right before I got here. We signed the deed and we got the property in our name. All the closing costs, everything's paid for. And one of the reasons that we're in the States now, me and my wife, we're trying to raise some personal support. So you pray for us as we're trying to raise personal support for our ministry personally. But then also we are sharing this need. Our next step, we're calling this Operation Church Growth. And our goal is to raise some more funds that would allow us to do the construction on the building. Because right now the building, it's like just some brick walls block walls, and we need to close the rest in. And when we finish it, it'll be about a 200-seat auditorium, some classrooms. And our goal for this church, Resurrection Baptist Church, is to be a hub and a base where we will send missionaries out and send preachers out that are trained in our Bible college. And we will also be helping them with planting churches throughout the Yucatan and throughout the surrounding areas. So pray for us in this need. God's just been giving us everything. We got an architect that not too long ago joined the church, and him and his whole family got saved in one day. They realized they had been living with religion but not a relationship with Christ. And they went to the Brother Danny's office after the service and said, "Hey, we need to get saved." And all three of them bowed their head and asked God to save them. And now God's using that family to help us with the blueprints for the property and everything. And he told us it'd be about $150,000 to build this setup. And it'll work out in three phases where we could have room to grow three auditoriums in the future. But for phase one, it'd be $150,000. And you say, "That's a lot of money." And you know, I say, "That's a lot of money," because I don't have that money. Our church doesn't have that money. But you know what? God has that money. And all we're doing, we never go around begging for nobody for anything. All we do is share information, and then we just look for God to provide for us. But the only thing that I would ask you to do this evening is to make sure you grab one of our prayer cards before we leave. I got some here in my Bible. And pray for us. Pray that God will meet the need, because the brother that helped us to buy the land, he came to visit us in July. And we talked with him. We said, "Well, we appreciate you doing that, and thank you so much for helping us with that." And he said, "Hold on, boys, I ain't finished with you yet." He said, "We got a building to build." And we said, "Well, we thought we're at our max with you helping us with that." And he said, no, "I want to see you through this. I'm your friend in ministry, and I want to help y'all build the building. So pray for us." He's going to match us dollar for dollar on the build. So every dollar that's given towards that will have a dollar match to it. So you pray for us as the Lord leads and leads us to the right places where that is fulfilled. Our goal is January 2024. We want to break ground, and we would like to be finished by December 2024. So pray for us. We know everything's in God's timing, but we also know that time's running out, brothers and sisters. The Lord's coming back soon, and we need to work as hard and as quick as we can for Him. So you pray for us, that God will meet our needs personally as we travel, and for our ministry as we head back. We'll be heading back to Mexico towards the beginning of December. So we're just starting our furlough trail, and we'll be heading as far as New York and as far south as Florida. So pray for us. Your pastor asked me just to share a quick word with you tonight. Now, I don't want to be long. I know a lot of times missionaries, and y'all know missionaries here, we can be long-winded sometimes. And we can take a long time, but if you would, please turn your Bibles to John chapter 15, and I just want to share a quick word with you. John chapter 15 and verse number 13. It says, John 15:13, it says, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Verse 14, he says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." We see Jesus, he's here with his disciples. And my Bible and your Bible, if you have the letters of Jesus in red, you'll see that these letters are in red because Jesus is speaking. All of this is God's word, but all the words in red is the narration of when God audibly spoke when he was here on earth. And he was telling his disciples, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." And then in verse 14, he says, "Ye are my friends." I don't know about you, but I'm thankful tonight that we've got a God that we serve that calls us friends. And we got a God that we serve that is not just a God sitting on high waiting for us to make any more blood sacrifices or us to offer up a works-based salvation, but he's got grace and mercy for us, and he doesn't just claim us as some number or some atoms or molecules in this world, but he calls us friend, and he knows us by name. I don't know about you, but I like to say this statement: what a friend we have in Jesus. And that's the title of this quick message I want to share with you tonight, is that what a friend we have in Jesus. Sometimes we get in our week of work, and we get in our week of doing whatever it is we do, our routine, and we forget about that friend that we have. We forget about what God really is to us. Yes, he's our Savior. He's the creator of the world, and he's the one that holds the stars in place, and he's the one that keeps our heart beating. But you know what? He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and he's right there for you, and he's right there for me every step of our days. if we're saved, if we know Him as our Savior, He's our friend.
Amen.
The definition of a friend from a kid's point of view is someone that knows all about you and loves you just the same. You know, there's a lot of us in here this evening that we love our status in the church of good evening, Pastor Rochester, good evening, brother and sister, and let's just keep it at that. And let's don't come to my house. Don't come to my neck of the woods seeing all what's up in my life or what's all in my neck of the woods. And a lot of times we don't want people to know everything about us. Why? Because we're afraid that if they know everything about us, they ain't want to be our friend. Maybe there's things in our past that if these people around us knew about us, they wouldn't want nothing to do with us anymore. But God loves us in spite of who we are. He knew who we were from the beginning of time, and He knows every sin that we're going to commit and every sin that we might commit in the future. He knows it all, but He still, in spite of everything, chooses to call us friend. Now, that's a good friendship, isn't it, brothers and sisters? That's a good friendship. Christ is the best friend that anyone could have. Christ shows His love and friendship in three ways. Really quickly, I want to share these with you. Every person, every believer, and every person, maybe not a believer, maybe someone that's religious. Not every church has them, but there's a lot of churches today that have a lot of religious people that don't know Jesus as their Savior. I hope that all of you here tonight are here because you've got a personal relationship with Jesus, and you're not here just because grandma and grandpa used to go here. Or you're not here just because your kids go here. Or you're not here just because your parents go here. But you're here because you got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But every person or every Christian can find friendship with Christ if we view the three ways that He shows His love and friendship to us. So three ways quickly that Jesus shows His friendship to us. Number one, through His mortal death. Through His mortal death. Look back in John chapter 15, verse 12 and 13. It says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Verse 14, "You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you." And here in verse 13, He's telling them that there is no other love greater than someone laying down their life for somebody. Now, a lot of us, we got friends that we've been good to. I want to tell you, you're a good friend of mine if I share my Krispy Kreme donuts with you, okay? I love Krispy Kreme donuts, and Brother John, you can tell that because I don't look nothing like what you remember me. We got a Krispy Kreme down in Mexico, guys. We're suffering for Jesus, but not too bad. We have Krispy Kreme donuts down there, and I will consider you a close friend if I share my donuts with you, because I'm not just going to share my dozen donuts with just anybody. You got to be a good friend of mine for me to share that with you. But that's not really the greatest definition of friendship, sharing a Krispy Kreme donut. Maybe some of you brothers in here, y'all have got some land, and from time to time you get those guns out and you got your tags and you got your license and you invite a friend over to hunt with you, and man, that guy really warmed up to you because you share your land with them. And imagine one day you decide, well, we can't hunt no more. That friendship might expire real quickly, or there might be some repercussions for excommunicating someone out of your hunting zone. But there's all different types of friendships and reasons that someone's a friend, and we'll define, oh man, that's a good friend. Some guy that gets up in the middle of the night, 11 o'clock at night, comes over to the house to help do plumbing or help deal with a car that's not starting, that's a good friend. To get up that late at night and help you. But God says He's not talking about helping as a mechanic or some chunky guy sharing his Dunkin' Donuts or his Krispy Kreme donuts with another person. But here He's saying, greater love hath no man than this. The greatest definition of friendship in the world is here in verse number 13, that a man laid down his life for his friends. And here, I'm so thankful that God, Jesus Christ, He's telling them this is the definition. But then not only is it the definition of friendship, but then He shows an example of it by fulfilling that definition and dying a mortal death for you and for me and for those disciples. And ever since Adam and Eve until the end, the last person that ever exists, God died for each and every one of us. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Him to share that kind of love with us. I think about what type of friend he is, one that would mortally die for us, one that would physically die for us. He's a courageous friend. He's a courageous friend. If it got down to where our friendship among somebody is determined by who's going to die, we're going to lose some friends quick. We're going to say, you know what, you just, now our babies, our kids, we're willing to die for them, but old Johnny, my buddy Johnny, my neighbor Russ, I love them. They're my best friends, but man, if it's between me and him dying, I'll see you in heaven, brother. just go ahead and go. I'll see you on the other side. A lot of times we're not willing to die for our friends. But Jesus, the greatest example of friendship, says and defines the greatest example of friendship, and then he fulfills it. And then he died for you, and he died for me. There's a song a preacher sings, "Even while the blood was still warm on his brow, Jesus was thinking of me. Even as they beat him, I don't know how, but Jesus was thinking of me. Even as they put the nails in his hand, even as they pierced his side, I was never out of his mind for a minute. He was thinking of me when he died." You say, well, I didn't exist then. You existed in the mind of God. He already knew who was going to come, and he already knew who was going to be born, and he knew who had existed prior to that moment, and he died for everyone. When he died on that cross, he stretched all the way back through time to Adam and Eve and stretched all the way to the future, and his blood was available to each and every one of us so that we could be saved by his precious blood. Yes. What a friend we have in Jesus. Do you know him tonight? Do you know that friend? A lot of times we know of friends, we know of people, but we don't know them personally. Normally, I know a Wednesday night crowd, everybody, you got to know Jesus come church on Wednesday night nowadays. Not too many lost men are going to stumble in a church house on a Wednesday night, but maybe there is. You know, there's a lot of people that are religious. They use a church baptism or church membership, or they use an experience. I was at a church in Florida years ago, and this man was a deacon of the church. And after the church, he got excited, and he said, "You know how I know that I'm going to heaven when I die? Because when I was a kid, I was at Vacation Bible School, and I was there all week. And I remember one day I was waking up, and I was getting ready to go, and I was brushing my hair, and all of a sudden, I just felt angels' wings on my ears and touching on the backside of my body. And I just had peace. I mean, I knew that I was going to go to heaven because these angels' wings were touching me." I don't see nowhere in the Bible that that's the way to get to heaven. In reality, when you talk about angels, you better be very careful about angels, because Lucifer was an angel. And I'm so sad to hear that story, that testimony. I said, no, brother, that's not the truth. The way to be saved is through Jesus Christ and his blood, and to call on him for salvation. That's the only way we can know Jesus. And our membership or some fuzzy feeling that we got because we sit in service and we heard a song sung, and maybe our heart felt just a little bit lighter than before. That might have just been your Tums that was kicking in right before you got to church. And I want you to know something, that calling out on Jesus Christ is the only way that we can be saved, and asking him for salvation. So let me ask you, do you know him? I hope you do this evening. And number two, not only through his mortal death, but number two, through his mercy demonstrated. God was a merciful God. He was in his mortal death, he was a courageous God, and he was a caring God to be willing to die for you and me. But in his mercy demonstrated, we see that he's a saving God. And he fulfills his promise. It was May 5th, 1993. I was a 9-year-old boy, and I was underneath the old ragtop tent in North Augusta, South Carolina. A preacher by the name of Ed McAbee was preaching on hell that night, and I realized for the first time that I was dying, and I was going to that place called hell. My dad was a preacher, traveled all over America preaching the gospel, and I knew about Jesus. I knew about religion. I knew about a Savior, but I didn't know him personally until I called on him as a 9-year-old boy, May 5th, 1993. And you know what he did when I called out on him? Help me, class. He saved me. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that we serve a God that fulfills his promises. I'm so thankful that we serve a God that when he says he's going to do something, he does it. And he's a saving friend that will save you and save me. Aren't you thankful for that friend we have in Jesus. Not only is a saving friend, but he's a secure friend. I don't know about you, but today in a lot of churches today, they're starting to preach a lot, and this has probably been going on for years, but it seems like it's getting more prevalent that you could lose your salvation. That if you're not a good person and you're not doing everything just right, that Jesus will just let you fall off the wagon and no longer be saved. But Jesus gave us the promise that we are in Him and He's in His Father and we're secure and He sealed us, signed, sealed, delivered. We are His. And I'm thankful for that security that we have in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to encourage you this evening, if you know Jesus as your Savior, it's a secure friendship that you have with Him. And there is nothing that can change that. My experience, and when I see other people, other preachers or other brothers and sisters in Christ, when they doubt their salvation or they're going through something, a lot of times it's right when the Lord's doing a work in their heart and working and moving them to a new level in their relationship and in their service to God, and the devil will attack. Are you sure you're saved? Are you sure you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you were saved, you wouldn't be thinking those things. If you were saved, you wouldn't be living that way. If you were saved, you wouldn't be saying those things out your mouth. And you know what? We live in this flesh. And I fall many times, and you fall many times. And that's that part of that friendship we don't want the preacher to know about. That's that part of our life that we don't want the church to know about. But it exists because we live in this flesh. But I'm so thankful that God saved us and He made a secure salvation for each and every one of us. So I just want to encourage you tonight, if you're ever called on Jesus for salvation and you believed in your heart every bit of it, I want you to know that it's a secure friendship. And there's no reason to doubt Him now. There's no reason to worry about whether I'm going to heaven or not now. You know what? The devil uses that many times to discourage us and to keep us from winning others to Christ. If we're worried about our own salvation, how in the world are we going to be a witness to anyone else? If we're worried about our own security, how in the world are we going to be effective in spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to those around us? And the devil will attack us. I heard a wise preacher say one time, he said, the devil will put a question in your mind if you're saved. He'll put a question in your mind, are you sure you're saved? God doesn't put questions in your mind. He says, no, boy, you're lost. No, boy, you know you're not saved. You know that you're going to hell when you die. You know that you don't have me living inside of you. And that's a declaration that Jesus makes. Now, but the devil, he'll, psst, are you sure? Are you sure you know the Lord? Because if you did know the Lord, you wouldn't act that way. And the devil will attack our carnality, flesh, and our lifestyle sometimes when we're wrong. And like Paul says, God forbid, we don't have a license to sin just because we have security in Him. We should have a desire to please the Lord and a desire to lift up His name and a desire to have a testimony that's sure and secure in Him and to be a witness for Jesus Christ. That's the natural part of living as a saved person, is you have a desire to do right for God. But I know as much as you do, as much as your spouse next to you knows, we're not always right. We wake up in the morning, we don't get our coffee right when we should have gotten it. Or maybe we didn't take our medicine, that blood pressure medicine that we should have taken as soon as we woke up. And next thing you know, we're living in the flesh. But you know what? God loves us in spite of it. And He's our friend, and He's a secure friend. And lastly, I don't want to take any more time. We're running out already. Not only is he a secure friend, and not only is he show his friendship through his mortal death or his mercy demonstrated, but lastly, he shows his mercy through his mission design. Through his mission design. Look at John 15. We'll go back to the same chapter, verse 15 and 16. He says, henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's a good friendship. God has a mission design. He wants to include us in fruit that is for the Lord. He wants to include us in winning souls. He wants to include us in bringing in the sheaves. He wants to include us in coming in rejoicing for the fruit and for the harvest that we have part in to receive for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus doesn't need us. but he wants to use us because he's our friend. Jesus doesn't need your missions conference that's coming up, but he wants it. Why? Because he wants fruit to be to your account. He wants fruit that will be applied to your life and your eternal reward that you have in heaven. It's a mission design that he has for us. Christ includes us in his grand mission, in his great commission. He has a will, his will, 2 Peter 2:3-9. And I'm done. I'm just running real fast. 2 Peter 3:9. Let me see, I'm losing my place. There we go, 2 Peter 3:9. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's will is that all of us know him. There's not a person that's going to die or stand before God. They're all going to be without excuse because everyone had the opportunity to choose him. Because his will is that nobody should perish, but that all should call upon him. And that's his promise. So he has his will and he has his way. Romans 10:13. Go there and we are about done. Romans 10:13. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." I want to tell you that he has a way, and it's through preachers, it's through missionaries, it's through pastors, it's through deacons, it's through Sunday school teachers, it's through church members, it's through his own children that God uses us to be a witness in a dark world and to shine a light so that others can be saved. Why? Because he's our friend. He wants us to be included in this because he's got a great reward to give us when we stand on the other side with him. Now, I know there's people already on the other side that we know. People have passed on that have served the Lord gladly and served the Lord in a great way. And they're maybe right now they're seeing some of that fruit right now up in glory. But I want to tell you that there's a work for us to do. There's a mission design that he's got for us. What a friend we have in Jesus to include us in this missions opportunity. Now, some churches I've been to, they feel like it's such a burden. Oh, missions. Oh, don't talk about missions. Faith promise. Oh, don't talk about faith promise. Oh, that's just begging people for money. I'm so glad this church doesn't have that attitude. I'm so glad this church has a missions heart that has a heart for missions and wants to see the Word of God presented all across the lands of this world. And I want you to know that we've got a good friend that has included us in his mission plan. Why would Christ include us in his plan? Because he's our friend. A friend shares his blessings with his friends. What a friend we have in Jesus. Do you know his mission design for you? You realize it's great to give to missions. It's great to help missionaries. But what about ourselves? And I'm not talking about pack up, ship out with some crazy gringo that wants to go to a foreign country. I'm talking about getting in your car every morning, Monday through Friday or Saturday, when you're working, and you decide, you know what, I'm going to go to my job as a missionary. I'm going to go to my workplace and represent the Lord wherever I go. You say, "But brother, you don't understand. My boss, he's Satan in the flesh." You don't understand. It's crazy where I work. You don't understand my family. They won't even listen to a word I've got to say. Pray and be a witness. Why? Because it's a design that God has, and he's included us in it because he's our friend. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this evening. Thank you for the opportunity to share a quick word as Pastor Rochester comes to close out the service. Lord, we thank you for what a friend that we have in you. Holy Spirit, I pray that you touch our hearts and you just help us, Lord, to be a witness. Lord, I'm thinking of people right now, Lord, that are lost. Lord, these brothers and sisters, they probably might be now thinking of people that are lost that they know that they would like to introduce you, their best friend, to other friends. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you give us a boldness, Lord, to be a witness in this dark time and give us an encouragement, Lord, to stand up and shine bright for you, Pastor.